Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
How's everybody doing this morning? What a beautiful morning, right? Coming in this morning. For those of you who were here last week and weren't here before that, my name is Nally. I'm the senior pastor here at Every Nation Brisbane. And we want to welcome again all of our people who are here for the first time. Can we give it up for them? Welcome, welcome, welcome. Didn't Henry do a fantastic job last week? What a great challenge that he issued for all of us to be outward in our thought and our thinking. So we've been highlighting a lot of the vision and values of this house. That's what this series is about. When we look into the horizon, when we look at the direction that God is taking us as a church, a lot of that's shaped by our vision and values. And so today, out of reverence for the reading of God's word, as we do all the time, I'm going to invite Easter to come and read our scriptures for today from Matthew 4. But can I invite you to just stand to your feet as she comes?
So Matthew 4:18-22, Jesus calls the first disciples. While walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him.
Lord, we thank you for your word, because your word gives us instruction so that we realize you're not mysterious, Lord, that your desire is for us to walk in your plans and purposes, Lord God. Although you're vast, although we'll never be able to grasp and know everything there is to know about you, and that is the great mystery, but Lord, your desire is for us to know you. You definitely desire for us to have this relationship with you, and so God, we're asking just a sense of your presence, Lord, beyond just hearing about what your scriptures say. Lord, we want to hear from Daddy today. We want to hear what you have to speak and say to us, your children. We open our hearts. We open our lives. I move out of the way that we'd hear directly from the throne room of Yahweh this morning in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. So good to see you all here this morning. For those of you who are unaware, I was suffering for Jesus in Hawaii last week. I was speaking at I was suffering. Listen to my voice. This is the stripes of speaking and leading worship at a campus and youth conference. So our ENC conference there, we saw over 400 students come and really press in from all the universities in Hawaii to come together and worship God and excited about being released in their destinies. A number of them, a whole bunch of them got saved and received Christ. There were 18 baptisms on the spot right after one of the sessions. It's cool. And they just had these, farm animals, how they drink out of these troughs. You know, they just had like three of those in the line. And then we just rolled out into the car park area, the foyer, and just pulled them out and dunked them up, you know, got them set on their way. It was amazing. And then, a number of them also made commitments to full-time ministry and campus ministry. So we're believing for that, even for us, hey, Mark and Adele, that people will be released in that, because it's such a huge harvest field of young people that are going to be the movers and shakers of our society. And so I realize that, you know, like if we're going all out for the next generation, I'm going to leave my voice in Hawaii, which I have. And but I have a lot to share with you this morning. I'm really excited about what God has for us. And shout out to all the youth that just came back from camp. Been following, aka stalking you guys on Insta Story, and I'm really excited to hear the reports. We'll hear more from them next week as we prepare a report for all of you to see some of the exciting things that are happening amongst our young people here. But the title of my message today is The Fishing Trip. The Fishing Trip. How many of you like fishing? Yeah, awesome. I'm not really big on fishing, to be completely honest. Like, shout out to all of you who like fishing. I like the results of fishing. You know, when you come back and deep fry it with some batter, I'm good with that. Praise the Lord for fishing. But yeah, I don't really like it because I'm not really good at it. You know, I don't have the patience. I think patience is a virtue. To sit on a boat for a number of hours, you know, just reeling back and forth. I think you need super patience. You know, this is what fishing looks like here in, yeah, like that's going to be really fruitful. But what we're talking about here, based on the scriptures that I've just read, is that Jesus issues this this statement for his disciples. He gives them purpose. And as we're talking about the value of discipleship here, we've talked about worship. One of the values of this house is worship. As our response to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves as living sacrifices before God. And so for the last 2 weeks, we've been talking about the outplay of that worship lifestyle outplays into outreach. So the closer we get to the heartbeat of God, we start to hear that it beats for other people, it beats for the broken, beats for the lost. And so as we are close to his heart, we begin to see, as Henry was talking about last week, just the opportunities that we have to take this gospel out. But today we're going to be talking about discipleship. So let's start with our vision statement here. It says that Every Nation Brisbane is a part of the Every Nation family of churches and ministries that exist to honor God by establishing Christ-centered, Spirit-empowered, and socially responsible churches and campus ministries in every nation. Today, out of these, we'll be talking about discipleship. Next week, we'll also be talking about discipleship. Really excited to hear about discipleship with regards to the next generation. So that's really important. But today we're going to focus on Jesus' design for discipleship and how he calls his disciples. So when we look at discipleship, this is what our statement is on where we are at with discipleship. It says we are committed to Christ's commission for us to make disciples. We aim to be disciples of Jesus and make disciples by engaging in the culture of our city with the gospel, establishing and equipping these disciples in their journey with God, and releasing these Spirit-empowered leaders to be a Christ-like influence. Now let's go back to Matthew 4. And it says here, while walking by the Sea of Galilee, this is speaking of Jesus, right? Jesus is walking by the Sea of Galilee and he sees two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. So these disciples were fishermen. To be a fisherman in that day is quite a prestigious occupation to have. First of all, you have to own nets and boats, so there's equipment that you have to own. And to be out there as fishermen, it's a blue-collar job, but it's definitely entrepreneurial. It's definitely one that's in high regard. So these guys were making money. They were quite fruitful. Many of you have heard me talk about the Sea of Galilee. In the Sea of Galilee, there are species of fish. There are breeds of fish that lie within the Sea of Galilee that you can't find anywhere else in the world because that's the amount of life there is in comparison to the Dead Sea, which is at the south of the Jordan River. So the Jordan River flows north from Sea of Galilee all the way to the southern part of Israel down in the south where the Dead Sea is. The Dead Sea is full of alkaline and salt. No life exists there. It's impossible. That's why you see photos and videos of people lying. Have you ever seen this? Like I've done that too. Like you go to Israel and you go visit the Dead Sea and you go float there and it's apparently really good for your skin and all that sort of stuff, but not very good for fish to live in. Whereas in the north, it's teeming with life. A lot of the reason is because the Dead Sea doesn't flow into anything. But the Sea of Galilee has a number of outlets, even though the main inlet is the Jordan River. Same river, but there's an outlet. And that also speaks to discipleship, right? It's interesting to note that Jesus is even prophetically calling his disciples in an environment of fishing. And then secondly, he's calling them in an environment of fishing where fishing is fruitful and it's prosperous. But it's also a place where it's teeming with life because that sea has a lot of outlets. There's something to be said about disciples who have outlets. That's when real life happens. This is the dichotomy of Christianity, right? Because most religions would be to earn righteousness because of your doing. But Christianity says, no, it's already done. Your response is to lay your life down for others, with Christ at the center of your worship as you do that. So as life comes in, it also flows out towards others. Are you with me? And that's when real life happens. And that's why, you know, a lot of Christians find it hard when they buy into this westernized form of Christianity that would say that I'm here crying out to Jesus as if he's some form of genie that will answer my prayers, but it's my sole existence is for me, myself, and I to become, for my life to be better. No, your life doesn't exist for you to be better. It exists for you to be deader. That as you lay your life down, life, true life really begins. The old has gone and the new is here. Now, this is not a popular gospel to preach in Australia because it's not something that you would put next to the self-help section of your bookstore. But this is the gospel, right? This is the real gospel. It's not become a better you. It's become a deader you. And as we lay our lives down in response to what Jesus has already done, we experience new life in him that is selfless. And a lot of what we experience, unfortunately, in a lot of Western experiences with Christianity is about making this life better in the name of Jesus. Jesus doesn't exist for our benefit. We exist for his benefit. Our response is to worship him. And worship means laying your life down, not the songs that we sing. Because even that can become consumerist sometimes. Like, I feel like my worship was better because they sang my jams. Are you with me? They sang my jams. That's my jam. What a beautiful name it is. But when they sing the other song that's not my jam, I don't feel like I can worship that way. How many of you know that's not what worship is? Worship is your response to the gospel, your response to the cross, and how you just immediately just lay your life down. It's like, God, whatever your agenda is, have your way in me. We want to be like seas of Galilee, not dead seas in the spirit. I'm not saying don't visit the Dead Sea and go visit the Sea of Galilee. Visit both. But there's a reason why there's no life around the Dead Sea. It's because it's all about receiving and never about an outflow of the life that's been given. And this is the beauty of it. I'm telling you that 20 years now, it's been 20 years since I understand the concept of what lordship really means, to lay my life down under the understanding that he's my boss, he's my ruler, he's my king. And that in that environment, he is also my savior, because I realize that I have no purpose because of my sin. But then in that environment, he saves me. So he's my Lord and Savior. I know they say that at the Grammys when they receive a Grammy. I thank my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But those words can be thrown out quite flippantly without an understanding that in order for him to save us, he must be Lord. He must be Lord. It would be like you drowning in the sea and then him throwing the buoy. Do you call a buoy here in Australia? The floaty thing? But when he throws out the buoy and you're going, not really, you know, it's orange, doesn't really match me. I'm like, do you realize you're drowning? And Jesus has thrown out this buoy to reignite life in you. And that without that saving, without the understanding that as I pull you in, you're going to be pulled into his boat, of which he is the captain. And he said to them, follow me. I can just hear him like Arnold Schwarzenegger in Terminator, right? Follow me. Follow me if you want to live. You know, like, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. There are cults today that are in existence in the world that they send out sisters based on this. Woohoo, I'm going to be a fisher of men. Go on, girl. That's not what this verse is saying. Some of y'all sisters look at me like, well, I'll claim that. But thank you, Jesus. That's my life verse. Now, that's not fishing. That's fishy. All right. He said to them, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. In other words, what he's saying is he's speaking actually to their occupation. Like, you've been fishing for fish. And in that fishing for fish, you've found provision. You've found definition. Like, the fact that you are a fisher has defined who you are to this point. But from now on, I'm making you a fisher of men. Now, most of us, when we hear that, how many of you, if this dude, okay, it's not romanticized like a lot of these movies would have, where it looks like Jesus is walking around like he's, a model for a shampoo commercial. The Bible says in Isaiah 53 that there is nothing about him that you would count as anything to write home about, right? He was not much to write home about in terms of his appearance. So imagine this guy, right? You have not met him before, didn't really have a home address, and he comes up to you. Under the anointing, obviously, of who he is, Jesus Christ. And he says to you, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And it's easy for us to romanticize and look at the scripture and go, oh, that's just beautiful. Oh, yes, I would have done the same, Pastor Nelly. Really? Like, seriously? Would you, if this guy that doesn't look like anything special, but under the anointing of Jesus Christ, of who he is. That's what the word Christ means. Christos in the Greek, anointed one. The one that's been anointed and appointed as the Son of God. If he came up to you and said, follow me, didn't give you a contract, didn't give you all the different things that you need to, that are stipulations of, like, if you do this, like, you know, when you go to the United States, if any of you have been there and you hear the commercials for anything medical or any insurance product, they spend the last 5 seconds sounding like Busta Rhymes because they're trying to get all of the terms and conditions apply. And if you know, there are side effects include, you know, like laziness of heart and like hair coming out of places that you wish you didn't. You know, like they say it really fast because they don't want you to hear that. Like Jesus didn't say, follow me and here are the predicaments. And if you follow me, then you will be able to see, you know, and there's none of that. He just says, follow me. Just two words. Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. He understands that in their lifestyle right now, that they are fishers, but he's calling them to fish for people. There was no, can you explain it a little bit more? Can I get a little bit more information? Do you have a pamphlet with you? What's your website, Jesus? Like, there's none of this. It was just simply the two words, follow me. Everybody say, follow me. Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. In the following of God, in the following of Jesus, they recognized their purpose. Now, obviously, there was an anointing on Jesus Christ. But praise God for enough room, enough space, and their understanding that this guy has something special. How many of you, if Jesus was to walk into this room today and tell you, you need to follow me, you would recognize it. Not by his clothing, not by the way Mel Gibson has depicted him with these steely eyes that just, oh yes, I'll follow you wherever you go. Like, there's nothing special about him, other than he is anointed as the Son of God. When we think about I talked about it a few weeks ago, right? How he enters into our ugly. There was nothing outstanding about his appearance. Like he was born in a farm cave. He experienced what it was like to be a refugee sent into Egypt, forced out of Judah and Israel at the time, which is modern day Palestine, forced into Egypt. Like a refugee. So he understands what it's like. And without a home at this point, because he was from Nazareth, but now he's in Galilee. Would you be able to recognize Jesus if he walked up to you when you were having lunch on Monday tomorrow? The recognition of what Jesus is doing, because there's so much busyness, so much noise around us, that it would detract from us missing the call of God. And God says to all of us, whether you are a follower of Jesus in here or not, he says, follow me, and I'm going to make you fishers of men. There's a purpose behind it. Now, the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain in which Jesus had directed them. Now, I'm taking this all the way to the end of Jesus' life here. And I want you to notice this great commission comes in this environment. So for those of you who aren't tracking, the call to be a disciple of Christ happened at the beginning of this ministry. So if you can imagine, fast forward to his death, his burial, and his resurrection, this is where Jesus issues what we call the Great Commission, in which he issues it to his disciples, and he issues it to every single one of us who is a disciple. How many of you are disciples of Christ in the room today? Awesome. Awesome. Now I want you to notice this environment. The 11 disciples went to where? Galilee. They went back to the start. In fact, recounting of of Jesus encountering Peter is that Peter's back to fishing again. Isn't it amazing, like, how God can introduce himself in the flesh, be crucified, and us still not have enough faith to follow him? We go back to what used to provide for us and fulfill us. They goes back to Galilee. And where did Jesus meet them? At Galilee. He's still by his grace. Despite our knuckleheadedness, my knuckleheadedness, he says, you know, I'll still meet you in the middle of your muck. Even though you don't get it, I'll give you another chance. Even though I just died like 10 days ago on a cruel cross, I'll give you grace. Isn't that, what a loving God. What an amazing God. And Jesus sends it to a mountain, which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Look, even though, right? Even though they refused to believe, they went back to fishing. And Jesus says, look, meet me at the mountain. They go to the mountain. Not all of them worship. Some of them still doubt, even though he's there. Some of us still doubt, even though he's here. It's just the way we are bent. But Jesus still, by his grace, continues to show up in the middle of our muck, in the middle of our doubt. And he doesn't say, okay, you guys doubt, so you know what? Off you go. He invites you with your doubts. He invites you with your fears. The Bible says in Psalm 27, verse 4, David, the psalmist writing, right? One thing that I've asked, that which I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord forever, all the days of my life, that I may gaze upon his beauty, and that I may inquire in his temple. The word inquire is not like going down to Westfield and going to where they have the information counter and going, do you know where the KFC is? That's not inquiry in accordance with the scripture there. Inquiry means to take your doubts, but take them towards God and take them into his temple. And so these disciples doubted, but they were like, you know what? I've got nowhere else to go. I'll still go to Jesus, even though I doubt. And what does Jesus say? Yeah, I see you doubt, but all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. So you can trust in me. Does he have all authority in our lives? It's one thing for us to realize he has all authority in the universe, all authority in creation, but can we honestly say, as followers and disciples of Christ, that he has all authority in every single area of our lives? Revelation 3 talks about Jesus knocking on the door of our hearts, or the hearts of the church at that time, but also our hearts, the church at Philadelphia, right? And he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. For the Samoans in here, fa'uta, fa'uta, otitule, fa'uta, ma'itutu. How many of you remember that old school jam? Okay, only four of us are willing to admit. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and welcomes me in, I will come and eat with him and him with me. Like, if all we need to do, all our responses need to be is like, you know what? Because you're Lord, you're my landlord. You're the landlord of my heart. And I open up the door of my heart. Have your way in every room. I don't know if you're like me and my wife, Tina. When we have visitors, I'm just going to be real honest because we're family. When we have visitors, and don't judge us, all right? When we have visitors and we just found out about those visitors two hours ago and we knew they were coming over and, you know, we got kids. So our house isn't always in tip-top shape, but you know, like if you're coming over and we know that, okay, this is a time to have you over, there's going to be certain things pushed into rooms. Some of you are judging me, man. Like, aren't senior pastors supposed to have it all together? Wow. So certain things will be pushed in rooms, and it's much like that with our walk with Christ, right? Come into the living room, but please do not check the closet, the bathroom, just stay here, Jesus. And your whole Christianity is polite. He's Lord. He needs to have access to that little closet you have. A closet called your web browser history, I'm just saying. I love you guys. I missed you, man. The bathroom. Not the guest bathroom. I mean your bathroom. He needs to have access there where he can see your text messages. It's quiet now. I thought I was the one that lost my voice. But if he says all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, that means he has all authority. And it's easy to say that he has all authority everywhere else. But when it comes to me, that's when it hurts. That's when it's like the polite visitor. Just don't go in my bedroom because that's where everything is stashed. Like, you know, those cartoons where you open the door and everything's like, and it falls on you. That's the way it is sometimes with us. Because it's easy to come into environments like this where we're around other Christians and we have the language, praise the Lord, brother. You know, Christians love to use the word awesome. I do it all the time. Awesome, man. It's awesome. Huh? How was camp? Awesome. How's the food? Awesome. True. We hide behind the word awesome. We have our language. But if God has all authority, that means we have none. Simple maths. 2 + 2 = 4. Quick math. And like that's it. It's just simple maths. If he has all, you're like Whitney Houston. I have nothing if I don't have you, Jesus. I'm just saying. That's the equation here. And since he has all authority, we can trust in him. That's where the Great Commission comes in. So All authority belongs to him. And because he's my Lord, now I can go and make disciples. Not clones, but disciples, because I'm under his authority. And he gives me the power and he gives me the strength. How many of you know, like, it's freaky to make disciples. It's scary. Make disciples? I can't even make my bed, some of you say. Like, you have a friend. But like, because he has all authority, I can go therefore and make disciples of all nations, not just my nation, not just my comfort zone. And by nations here, he's not just talking about specific nations. You are from the Philippines. I'm from Samoa, bro. You know, then we cross over to the different nations. But there's nations in terms of cultures. The Greek word here is the ethnos, right? The people groups. So some of you may be into certain things. Some of you may be more affluent than others. But it's crossing all these different borders that sometimes we categorize ourselves as humans to understand we are all a part of the beautiful body of Christ. Amen? And that we're to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them. Complete immersion. Again, complete immersion in the one who carries all authority. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And teaching them to observe all. Everybody say all. All that I've commanded you. All that Jesus has commanded. There's the problem and sometimes the issue with discipleship is that we clone towards ourselves rather than disciple towards Christ. The whole idea of discipleship should be, if we mark it in terms of areas of successful discipleship, should be, if I was to move out of the equation, would you still follow Jesus? That's the idea behind discipleship. Not to point them towards you as if you're some guru. You are not a guru. You are a signpost. You point them towards Jesus. You teach them how to read the word so that they can hear from God. You begin to teach them how to pray. You teach them how to follow Jesus. You teach them how to make disciples. That's the whole idea behind discipleship. And I love it. The one who has all authority, here's his promise to us, I am with you always to the end of the age. The one who carries all authority is with us. Say that with me. The one who has all authority is with me. Turn to somebody and tell them, the one who has all authority is with you. Yo, that's right. That's right. So let's go back to this. Follow me, Jesus says to his disciples. Remember at this time, I'm going to get back to this point. At this time, he's talking to Simon Peter. Just one. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. So number one, if you want to be a disciple of Christ, you need to follow Christ, right? The Greek word for disciple is mathetes. Mathetes means it's like a student of that particular person's behavior and the way they watch their nuances, they look and see how they model and teach whatever it is that they desire to teach. That's what it means. So follow me and I will make you what? Fishers of men. So number one, to be a disciple, you need to follow Jesus. Number two, to be a disciple, you need to fish for men, for people. All right, just to clarify, fish for people. Look at this response though. Immediately, everybody say immediately. They left their nets and followed him. Now, the reason why I've highlighted they and there, even though he's talking to Simon Peter, there are other disciples there, that you don't follow him alone. There's a plurality and a community of how we follow him. I don't follow him by myself. I follow him as a part of spiritual family. You all hear that call Every Nation Brisbane your home. You're my spiritual family. We walk together. Not just as a measure of accountability. Oh, did you do this? Oh, did you do that? Oh, I'm not sure. Oh, no, that's not our purpose of community. It's community is a place where we can share our ugly as well as celebrate the good things that God is doing. But we move together collectively as a community. When Jesus highlights who his church is, he highlights it in three words that start with B, and all of them are community, right? Building. We're a part of the building of Christ, of which he is the cornerstone. He has called us to be his body. When one part of the body hurts, we all come to alleviate that pain as a part of the response of that body. We're all active. We're not all toenails. Yeah, nasty. But we're all got different functions, and that's why we can't be clones, right? If you look at our staff, if you get to meet all of our staff, we're all very different, and that's awesome because God is glorified when we are different, but we all seek to function together. I don't have all of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, for those of you who may be wondering. Definitely. We don't all have the gifts of the Holy Spirit, but there's some who are stronger in other areas, and together we bring strength. So it's the building, it's the body, and it's also the bride of Christ. He's coming back for a bride who is without spot or wrinkle. Jesus is coming back for his bride. It's not that you singular are a bride and that Jesus is polygamous. No, he's coming back for a singular bride without spot or wrinkle. You need community to walk this out. Otherwise, you become susceptible to diseases like God told me-itis. But God told me that she's the one, because you were listening to Robbie Williams or something, you know. She's the one. And you start thinking, oh, well, is that you, Lord, speaking to me? And then 2 weeks later, like God is schizophrenic. Oh, someone else. She's the one. I thought 2 weeks ago. Like, you need some accurate mirrors around you. You need some people around you to be able to tell you the truth, not just dress it up, to see you in your vulnerable state and say, you know what? I'll walk with you. We'll journey together. And I'll help you to become more like Christ as we walk this out as an imperfect people walking with a perfect God. They left their nets. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee. What a cool name for a dude, man, Zebedee. And John, his brother, in the boat of Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them. Now, I want you to understand this, okay? His name is Zebedee. That word means thunder. Like, imagine your dad's name is Thunder. My dad's name might as well have been Thunder, because there's sometimes that he definitely felt the thunder when I wasn't behaving myself. But imagine, like, okay, number one, your daddy gave you a job. You're a fisherman just like his dad, eh? What a good bloke, top bloke. This is old Zebedee, old Zeb. And your daddy's name is Thunder. And he owns boats. This is not some little dude like, hi guys, how's it going? Have you been to the library lately? He's not that sort of dude, right? He's a dude. Son of Thunder. These had to be, Zebedee had to be a bad dude. There's a point to why I'm going here, because in order to have it immediately in your spirit, knowing that dad used to be your source of income, your source of definition, like he gave you the job, he gave you provision, he gave you your identity, and his name is Thunder. You better hear from Jesus if you're going to leave that, right? In verse 22, immediately they left their boat and their father and followed him. I don't know. If my dad was Zebedee, my dad would cast the net on my face and fish me back. But I got to give props, because I believe my reading of the scripture is that Zebedee also recognized that Jesus was Lord and released his sons into their destiny to become fishers of men. That's the power. And he saw that they were going together. So if this wasn't to work out, or if Jesus was some wacko, they'd have enough forthright knowledge to be able to bring them back to this place of Galilee to be able to fish. See, there's power and strength when we not only follow God, not only fish for the lost, the broken, but when we fellowship with other believers. So these are the three new F words that I want to put in your vocabulary today. If you understand what it means to be a disciple of Christ, I'm going to renew your mind with the old F words you used to use and give you new ones. We're going to follow God. We're going to fish for the broken and the lost. And we're going to fellowship with God's people. Discipleship is relationship. It's relationship with God as we follow God. It's relationship with lost people, and it's relationship with God's people to fellowship. Here at Every Nation Brisbane, we do have a process. Now, this process just facilitates. It's not the law. It helps us to see how we facilitate following God, fishing for lost people, and fellowshipping with God's people. We have the four E's. We engage with the lost. We establish you in biblical foundations. How many of you are working through your purple book? Still going strong? Also, hang in there, guys. It's good. You want to build solid foundations as a disciple of Christ because life happens. And you want to have a faith that is unshakable. And so that's why we belabor. And we've got some exciting things that are happening with regards to where the different events, whether it's baptism, and we'll announce something a little bit later on in our service with regards to what we used to call Victory Weekend, but we're going in a new direction with them. We're really excited about that. We equip the saints for the work of ministry because every single one of us as disciples is called to be a representative of the gospel wherever we go. And then we empower those believers to make disciple-making disciples. We release. Yeah. And some of that might look really daunting. And if you want more information on it, you can talk to myself or talk to any of our staff or any of our leaders. We'd gladly talk to you about it. But I want you to just start at this point. Remember, the initial disciples that Jesus called, although there were others, was Peter, James, and John. Just three. I want to invite you just to believe God for people that you can pour into. Just start with one. Just start with one. Maybe, you know, after that you can start with two. Like, I just came back from Hawaii and, you know, from our sister church there, Grace Bible. And there's a term that they all use. It's called the tripod. And I was sharing this with some of our leaders on Friday night. The tripod is where they base it out of Ephesians 4, because some of us take it into marriage and it's the husband, wife, and then the central thread is Jesus, where it says that a three-quartered strand is not easily broken. But if I can find just two people to pour my life into, to the point where if I was to go and they were around, they'd be able to, without missing a beat, walk out in what God has called us to walk in corporately, remembering that the destiny that God has put on you as an individual is always connected to community. It always is. It's never individualized. That's consumerism. That's not Christianity. But ask yourself, who are two people? Let's start with one. Just believe God for one. Who are two? One. Who's one person that I can pour my life into if you're not already? The last thing I wanted to say is that the power of what God does in discipleship actually best happens just like Jesus did in small groups. And we have life groups happening throughout the city on our campuses as well. If you're not a part of a life group, we'd love you to get connected into community. This is just a service. Church actually happens Monday to Sunday as well. This is just a part of being in that community, but you need people that you can walk with. Because, you know, like Jesus commissioned them, you'll be able to walk out in the purposes of God that way. Now, before I close, I'm going to just use the last 3 minutes of this message to actually invite you to discuss a question within the vicinity of where you are. Just get about two or three people, maybe four max, and we're going to discuss this question that I'm about to put on the board here. This question is actually a part of our life group material for this week. For those of you who are unfamiliar, we have small groups that happen, again, throughout the city, and we have material that is available for you to use. This is one of the questions based off of this week's message. And I wanted to give you an opportunity to ask this question of yourself. If you can get together with two or three people around you, and I want to activate if they're life group leaders here, especially the graduates of 215, if we can just spread ourselves out at this point. And let's discuss this question. It says here, if Jesus was to call you to follow him in the same way he called these disciples in this passage, do you think you'd be able to drop everything and go, why or why not? Is that cool? Okay, so get together right now. Just turn around, introduce yourself. I'm just going to give you 3 minutes, and then I'm going to invite the worship team, and we're going to worship God.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.